We're going to begin in Acts 20, verse 7. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7. We've been talking about worship, not private worship that you would do as an individual in a personal way, but public worship, where the Bible describes Christians coming together to worship God. And the Bible does talk about this kind of assembly many times. The Bible five times in 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the church at Corinth coming together and even coming together in one place. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 and 26, the Bible talks about the whole church coming together in one place. Now, that is the worship assembly. That is congregational or corporate worship. Is that a duty? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So yes, it is something that God requires. It is something that God wants Christians to do. So we're talking then about congregational worship where the whole congregation comes together to worship God. Now, the question that we want to look at right now is this. Is there a special time when God wants the congregation to come together? Now, that's not like asking, can the congregation come together on any day of the week, let's say to sing songs, to have prayer, to study the Bible. Is there a special time that God has set aside where He wants us to offer our worship in a special way to Him? And if so, what is that time? Is there a special day? And so the whole issue is it Sunday or Saturday? Is it the Sabbath day or the first day of the week that God has set aside? Let's begin in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7. Here the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, before I make any comments about this, let me just go back and lay some background here. It was the first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead. It was the first day of the week when the church was established. Now, those facts don't prove by themselves that we have to worship on Sunday today. But it is interesting that evidently there was somewhat of a pattern that was set there by these events. And what we find here in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, is that definitely the Christians assembled together to worship God on the first day of the week. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, these disciples came together. There's your assembly. And they came together to break bread, that is, to have the Lord's Supper. They assembled together for that reason, for that purpose. So when we ask the question, well, why does God want us to assemble on the first day of the week? Well, the answer here is to break bread, to have the Lord's Supper. That's not the only thing that God wants us to do when we come together, but it is the stated purpose in Acts 20, verse 7. And notice that the Bible says that Paul preached unto them. So there's definitely a church assembly here. It is definitely a worship setting. Here then in Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible definitely shows us that it is the first day of the week when these disciples met together to worship God. Now then, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Here Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now notice what he's talking about here. Let's go back to verse 1. And he says the topic, the subject that he wants to discuss with these people now is the collection, the contribution. And he says that he has given order already to the churches of Galatia about this. You see, Paul didn't tell one congregation to do one thing as far as the doctrine is concerned, and then turn right around and tell another congregation to do something completely different. Now there are some circumstances in some congregations in some settings that vary, that differ from place to place. But when it comes to the essentials, when it comes to the basics, when it comes to the requirements for worship and other elements of the doctrine of Christ, you find that his teaching is uniform, that he teaches the same doctrine in every place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, "These are my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Not different things in different churches, but the same doctrine is what he taught in every church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, Paul said, "And so ordain I in all churches." And here in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, he says that he taught the churches of Galatia what he's writing here, and now he's telling the church at Corinth. So this is uniform teaching. This is the consistent teaching of the New Testament on the collection. What is it? Well, in verse 2, he says, "This is to be done on the first day of the week." Now, what did Paul say they were to do on the first day of the week? Verse 2 says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store." Somebody says, "Well, what does that mean, to lay by in store?" Well, literally, it means to store up. And when you store something up, that means you put it away. This is talking about what they put into the collection. This is talking about giving into the contribution. So Paul says that every one of you is to lay by in store, that is, to contribute, to put into the collection, as God has prospered him. In other words, depending on your circumstances in life. And so if life has been good to you and you've got more money, then contribute accordingly. Give accordingly. And if a person is poor and doesn't have much to give, then that is to be taken into consideration as well. But Paul says the reason that this is to be done is so that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul is saying, when I get to Corinth, I don't want to have to go from house to house to gather what you want to give. So you meet together on the first day of the week, and when you do, you give, you contribute, you give into this collection. So it's centralized in that way. It's gathered. So you see, when you put Acts 20, verse 7, with 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it all makes sense. It all fits together. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread, that is, to have the Lord's Supper. And in that assembly, they had preaching, and of course, other passages tell us that they had prayers and that they had singing. And the Bible tells us here that they gave on the first day of the week. So there's absolutely no question about the day that God set aside for Christians to have special worship to him. It is the first day of the week. That is our Sunday, not Saturday, but Sunday. Now the question sometimes is raised, well, what about the Sabbath day though? Isn't that a special day still in the sight of God, and shouldn't Christians observe it? And is the first day of the week, is Sunday kind of a Christian Sabbath today? Isn't it some kind of new Sabbath day in this age? Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2. You'll remember in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, that Paul emphasizes that the law of Moses has been done away with. Colossians 2, verse 14. This is where Paul said that when Jesus died, he was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Plainly here, the Bible says, the old law was nailed to the cross. Now, in light of that, Paul goes on to say in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days." Paul said, because the law of Moses has been nailed to the cross, verse 14, therefore, in light of that, don't let anybody judge you, that is, condemn you, in regard to meat and drink. You see, the law of Moses had different regulations about food and about drink, especially those kinds of offerings made at the temple at the altar. The law of Moses required those things, but the law of Christ does not. And Paul is telling these Christians Don't let any of these people who are trying to bind the law of Moses on you tell you that you have to go to the temple to make these offerings. Also, he said, don't let any of these people condemn you. That's what the word judge here means. Don't let any of these people try to make you feel guilty because you are not observing a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. Now, this was a usual way that the Old Testament talked about the different kinds of special days in the law of Moses. Now, he starts with a holy day. Now, that refers to the yearly observances, the yearly special days that God had appointed, Pentecost, Passover, and the Feast of Tabernacles. All Jewish males were to assemble in Jerusalem on those days. The next time is the new moon. Now, that was a monthly observance. It came around every month, and the Jews knew that that was a special time. The last one is the Sabbath days. The Sabbath was a weekly observance. It came around every seventh day of the week. In other words, it would be on what we call Saturday. So the Bible says here that we are not to let anybody tell us that we have to observe a holy day or a new moon celebration or observe the Sabbath. Now, there are people today, just like there were in the first century, who say that if you don't observe the Sabbath, now you have sinned. Well, this passage says we are not under that law anymore. We are not under the law that required observing the holy day, an annual feast, the new moon, a monthly feast, or the Sabbath days, which was a weekly observance. All of that was nailed to the cross, verse 14. That's what this entire context is about. The very law that required the Jews to keep the Sabbath has ended. It was nailed to the cross. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to die for our sins, and also to usher in the New Testament and to do away with the Old Testament. So Paul goes on to say in verse 17 that these things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In other words, what he's saying is that the Sabbath days and the new moon celebrations and the holy day observances were all shadows, that is, foreshadows of what was to come. They were temporary. They were never designed to be permanent. So when people today say that the Sabbath law is permanent, that it was not done away with, that we're wrong if we don't worship on the Sabbath day, and that the first day of the week is just a man-made tradition, to be consistent, they would have to say that we're supposed to worship on the new moon, and to be consistent, they would also have to say that we have to observe these yearly feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Because you see, Paul puts all of these in the same category, and he says that these yearly and monthly and weekly observances, including the Sabbath, that all these were done away when Jesus died on the cross. Is there a special day when God wants Christians to assemble together to worship? Yes. And it is the first day of the week, not the Sabbath. It is Sunday, not Saturday.